Good afternoon. Welcome back to the program. Larry's off this week. Lee Sterry's sitting in. Ottawa police charged Frank Gervais this past Saturday for impersonating a decorated soldier during a Remembrance Day ceremony at the National War Memorial in Ottawa. Gervais, 32 years of age, is not a member of the Canadian Forces, faces two charges of impersonating, or it should say personating, a public officer. That's the official legal term. One charge of unlawful use of military uniforms, and one charge of unlawful use of military decoration. And there have been many, many comments about that. Most of them surrounding this topic, full of disgust for what this fellow did and all kinds of suggestions as to what we should do with him. It is a contravention of the Canadian Criminal Code. And I thought perhaps there were some other sides to this story or other things in the background that we may not know because we're not involved with these kinds of things. Well, Daniel Freudman is. He's a barrister and solicitor with an office located in the Cabbage Town district of downtown Toronto. He's familiar with these kinds of cases. And Mr. Freudman, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, where are you? Were you involved with this story from the beginning in any way? Were you in Ottawa while this was happening?
I wasn't in Ottawa. I'm located in Toronto. However, as you can imagine, the story was all over the news.
Yeah.
And
Hello? Okay. We had a beep beep. Okay, well, while Patrick scrambles to get Mr. Freudman back on the line, hopefully that wasn't the sound of his cell battery dying on us. He's a Bachelor of Laws, as well as an undergraduate degree in commerce, attended Bond University's Faculty of Law, one of Australia's highest-ranking law schools, and graduated with honors from Australia as well. And one of the questions that I had, and I will ask, he's back? Okay.
Seems like we got disconnected.
Yeah, hi, Daniel. We had a sort of a beep, and then we went silent. Maybe the lander is involved here somehow. Anyway, so pick us up where you left off about your knowledge of and experience with this story so far.
Well, as you mentioned, there have been a litany of charges laid in this regard. Firstly, he is impersonating a public officer. A public officer is defined in the criminal code to include a officer of the Canadian Forces. Additionally, there is the issues with respect to what he was wearing. The criminal code explicitly makes an offense to wear a uniform of the Canadian Forces and also makes it a separate but related offense to wear a distinct medal or ribbon. And it's my understanding that this individual was wearing, I believe, a Medal of Honor of some sort. So there are quite a few charges relating from what took place, and rightfully so, there have been several charges laid.
Okay, now you've been involved with cases like this before. What does the defense do? How does what's the other side of the story that a defense lawyer and or his client would bring forward in this?
Well, there's two parts to every offense. One is the what's called the physical element, the actus reus, and that's actually, did the offense itself take place? Did this person wear those unlawfully wear those items or uniforms? Now, the second aspect, and this is where I'm guessing the defense would be able to try and put forward an argument, did he intend to impersonate an officer? And that's where it comes in. What was his mindset at the time? If he can demonstrate that, this is, of course, speculation, but, for example, if he had some sort of mental health issues that would have caused him to believe he was, in fact, an officer, which I don't see being the case, but if he could sort of prove that he honestly believed he was an officer, then there could be some sort of a defense arising on those facts. That doesn't seem to be the case here, in that it does seem that he was really just attempting to steal the valor of other courageous officers. But the fact is, it's up to the Crown. The Crown has the ultimate burden of proving beyond reasonable doubt that not only did this person wear those items, which seems to be the case, but also that he intended to personate the officer. And they would have to prove both those elements in order to be successful in gaining a conviction.
Now, as with any legal proceeding, there is, of course, the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. We're pretty sure that he broke the letter of the law. That really isn't up for debate at this point in time, because it's very obvious that the letter of the law was certainly contravened here. Now, one wonders originally what the spirit of this law was when it became part of the criminal code and what was behind the legislation that made it a crime?
Well, I believe the spirit of the law is really to protect the integrity of these soldiers who did in fact serve and do in fact serve in the Canadian Armed Forces. And the purpose or spirit of the law is to prevent others from either obtaining some sort of benefit, for example, entry into some sort of ceremony or any even intangible benefits such as press. The letter of law, or the spirit of the law, would, I believe, be to prevent people from unlawfully or without proper justification gaining some sort of benefit from use of a uniform that they are not, in fact, lawfully entitled to have or wear.
Now, one of the, I would assume, key planks in the platform of the spirit of this law is to prevent or at least try to deter someone from putting on a uniform, either that of a police officer or a military, a member of the military, for ill-gotten gains or terrorist activities or espionage or any of those things. That, to me, would be probably one of the key things that were involved when they were thinking about putting this law in the books. Would I be off base with that?
No, that's actually entirely correct. And in fact, if you look at the criminal code, I believe it's section 130.1, which explicitly states that an aggravating circumstance of impersonating a public officer is to not only perform the impersonation, but also to do so for the purpose of facilitating or committing an offense. So you're correct in that simply wearing a uniform is in fact an offense. However, it's aggravating. It makes sentencing more punitive and worse if such was done for the purpose of commissioning an offense.
So one would assume that the people that are investigating this are trying to get to the bottom of what his motivation was.
I would assume so. That would definitely be my my belief.
And the why? What is the range of punishment that this person could receive?
Well, it's difficult to say exactly. One of the main circumstances will be, does he have a criminal record? If this is a first-time offender, then there will be an inherent leniency in terms of sentencing. That being said, in no way will he simply be let off the hook. In terms of this specific offense, given that there's no actual, or there ostensibly was no attempt to facilitate some sort of further crime, it's not aggravating in that sense. However, it is obviously aggravating in the sense that this is now a public story, and that will make the principle of denunciation, which is a forefront of sentencing, it'll make it very, very predominant. And in terms of what he'll receive, I would imagine that the Crown would be seeking very likely a suspended sentence, which means although no jail time, there is a conviction, a criminal record registered against him. Alternatively, given the breadth of this and the intention to denounce these types of offenses and also deter the public at large from dressing like this, and of course now it is an issue to the public at large given how much media it's getting, the Crown very well may seek some jail time. But in terms of what they'll actually receive upon a conviction, I would imagine it would be something along the lines of a suspended sentence. So again, no jail time, but a criminal record.
What is a sample of an example, if you can give us, as to a similar case that you may have been involved with in the past? Because I know you've been close to cases such as these before.
That's correct. I've received a case. It was a public, although not a public officer, it was a peace officer. So it was a police officer rather than a Canadian Armed Forces member that was being impersonated. However, in that event, there was not only the impersonation, but also an attempt to sort of gain a benefit. This person, without going into too much detail, he was wearing a uniform to try and sort of defraud other members of the public. So that was certainly aggravating. That person,
right,
in that case did receive a custodial sentence. So he did have a jail term as a result. That being said, that person also had a criminal record behind him. So the antecedents certainly ramp up the expected sentence. And if this person does have a criminal record behind him, and if it's, for example, something relating to crimes of dishonesty such as fraud or a previous impersonation charge, then the likelihood of jail skyrockets, and there is a serious likelihood that you'll face custodial time in the event of a conviction.
Okay. Daniel Freudman of Freudman Law in Toronto, we appreciate your perspective and your angle on this story. We'll just have to wait and see how it fleshes out, and don't be a stranger. Come back and talk to us sometime.
Thank you very much.